A deadly shooting breaks out at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade. The SEC prepares for a 9-game conference schedule, and Chris Marler joins us to discuss the new coaching moves at Alabama and if they're in big trouble. Check it out and more on Grant & Company. Hey, everybody out there, listen, appreciate you guys. Hope you had a great Valentine's Day. If you're single and ready to mingle, I hope you find that Valentine this year. If you just want to play it cool, I totally get it. But regardless, whether you listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, however you get your Crane & Company, leave a 5-star review, share the show, and we appreciate you. Now, we've all been there before. You're at the house party, you're playing beer pong, and you got the mix just right. You're in the zone, you're on a heater. You're not too far gone, but you didn't just walk in. You can just feel it. It makes sense. The numbers and the angles and the shapes are all coming together. That's how I feel the SEC is right now when it comes to conference scheduling and structure after Texas Athletic Director Supervisor Chris Del Conte, the hot sauce baron, all but said we will have a 9-game in-conference schedule by 2026, which adds another great thing on top of the SEC and most conferences around high-level college football in getting rid of divisions as well. Now, the reasons for excitement are pretty simple. It gives us another great matchup in an already loaded conference that's adding Texas and Oklahoma. It makes it even easier for each team to play one another at home and away over a 4-year career, which is the whole point of scheduling. And hopefully, it will alleviate some of the ridiculous crying from the SEC haters out there that we hear every year during that one cupcake week at the end of the season. That argument should die a bitter death. Having to play 9 games in this conference is like getting jumped by trained ninjas with baseball bats. This, plus, like I mentioned, the loss of divisions, is the perfect mix, not only for the SEC, but for every conference, and most have followed suit, like I said. Now, if there is a downside, it's that we'll have to wait until 2026 as they sort it out. But the groundwork has been laid to the perfect conference structure. And I, for one, am super duper ecstatic about it. So, just like in the story of Goldilocks, who we all know should be in prison for a simple breaking and entering, this porridge, it's just right. David Cone, former Michigan quarterback, my brother, former Western State Colorado wide receiver. Not official yet. He said it, and we've said this for the last 2 years. It's not a matter of if the SEC will go to a 9-game in conference schedule. It's a matter of when. Obviously, you add more teams, you can add more games. This, plus the law, the doing away of divisions, just sets up perfect. Do you think it'll end the cupcake argument that one week where, you know, everybody plays a kind of down team as you get ready for rivalry week?
No, because the argument from other conferences about the SEC not playing 9 games has less to do with the SEC and more to do with themselves.
Yeah, I think insecurity. It's somebody's calling. Oh, wait, it's insecurity.
The SEC could play an all-SEC schedule like we saw in COVID.
Well, just maybe we won't hear Joe Klatt cry about it for an hour and a half.
Or Danny Cannell.
And we love Danny Cannell. Yeah, I got a lot of respect for both of them, but it has
gotten tiring. But yes, of course, this will make it tougher to make that argument. And this should have happened. First of all, before I forget, good on you calling out Goldilocks on the B&E.
It's a simple B&E. If anybody else did that, we'd be in jail.
I can't wait to hear what
Blaine two-tier justice system, that. Us and his characters.
Yes, but and I mean, some of that criticism has been fair before because this is the premier conference in college football. We want to see him play a 9-game schedule. This had to happen. You're adding more teams. At a time when you're taking divisions away, usually when you would add more teams, that's when a division would get created. Mm-hmm. So you could have a winner of an East, winner of a West, or winner of a North, winner of a South, however you do it. Now we're taking divisions away and adding more teams. To crown a legitimate champion, you have to add more games. A 9-game conference schedule in the SEC is going to be exhilarating throughout the schedule. A couple things here. I find it interesting that it was the Texas AD, Chris Del Conte, who broke this news when they're the brand new team. I wonder if there was any other schools around the conference saying, hey, you're new. Keep your mouth shut.
Well, let's say he wanted to come in and maybe flex a little bit.
Also, some teams have already scheduled 4 non-conference games in the 2026 year and beyond. I don't think that's going to be a holdup at all. You just get out of those contracts here and there. So I think this is the right move. It's going to be exciting, and the strength of schedule is going to go up. And you could see situations where 9-3 teams are making a 12-team playoff.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that I look at when we're moving to this 12-team playoff format, Blaine, is that at the end, we see this in college basketball. If you're a team that's trying to get in or trying to improve your seed, you want to play good teams at the end of the year because it gives you an opportunity to get quality wins. You're going to start hearing that term a lot more in college football. And being in the Southeastern Conference, outside of Vanderbilt, which I hope they turn it around with Professor X, a.k.a. Clark Lee, out there, if you're trying to get in as a 9-3 team, if you're 8-3, you know, going into that last week or that extra game could be the one that puts you over the hump. Could it be the one that knocks you out? Yes, but you want opportunities to be able to win games, to control your own destiny and put yourself in there. You add that with, again, the more teams we add in conference reduction, it's not conference expansion. Eventually, I think there will be no non-conference games when we end up with the two mega conferences of ESPN and Fox, if you want to call it what it is. But just your thoughts on it, man.
Yeah, it's huge. And to be honest, I mean, you brought it up earlier. Let's go to La Traverse versus Jackson, 284, 822, made in 1954. Breaking and entering is defined as entering a building through force without authorization. All right, the slightest force includes pushing open a door. That is all necessary. So it brings us back to Goldilocks is a criminal.
No, well, right. See, that's what
Goldilocks
I'm saying.
Goldilocks is a criminal. She deserves to be in jail.
Well, that's what I said all this, not to deal with sports, but just to get to the fact that she should be in prison.
I know.
Peter Pan should be in prison.
Facts.
Goldilocks should be in prison. And you're lucky. Wait till I look into Winnie the Pooh.
And to be honest,
right, rumor has he's out there groundhog.
That's kidnapping.
Yeah, that is true.
So they should
put the top hat
too.
On him. Now tie it into a 9-game conference schedule. Finish the thread.
I mean, okay, if you're going to break and enter,
yes.
All right, how do you break and enter the playoffs? Okay.
There we go.
9-game schedule. Yes. All right, here at Creating
Company. You're right. You need late big wins. You don't want to schedule anybody easy because if you are a 9-3 team or an 8-3 team, it's going to come down to the little specificities of whatever the college football committee want to make up when they get there.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, your left tackle got hurt. I saw him eating a Capri Sun for lunch.
Yeah.
I can't let you
guys
win.
APR.
So it doesn't really matter what the schedule is. Does it really matter what you do? Because the playoff committee is going to find whatever it is to not put you in or to put you in.
Well, I think it does. I think it makes it, you know, a much stronger, more concrete argument. But we're going to see. There's nothing about this I don't like. I don't think there's any other than the waiting, like I said, but I'd rather have to wait and then get it right and get it set up perfectly for the future as opposed to just throwing it all together. We see what happens when they do that with NIL and the transfer portal and some of the other stuff in college football. But we want to know what you think. We're going to open the phone line, 7:15 a.m. Central. It's 1-855-236-3228. Remember, hit that subscribe button. If you're in the chat as well, if you donate and it's on topic at the time, we will read it. If not, we will read it at the end. But spring is coming. We all know we're excited to see how our teams do. Right? Transfer portal is going to open again. And you know what that means outside of just football and March Madness and college baseball and softball. Camping, road trips, outdoor adventures, friendship, doing stuff outside. And listen, who doesn't love a little off-roading with the boys? All right? I'm from the state of Alabama. If you didn't have mud on your truck, I didn't trust you. All right? And your vehicle bouncing and sliding, which each turn in this weather sometimes can be a problem. But thanks to our friends at Track Grabber, you can crack the code. You've already done it. You're already the most dangerous thing around. All right, what is Track Grabber? It's a simple, rugged, and economical traction device that's quickly strapped to the wheels of a vehicle. It only takes 30 seconds per wheel, okay? You don't have to be Tim Allen from Home Improvement to figure this one out, all right? It lifts and moves stuck tires from whatever surface that will not allow traction. The sturdy rubber blocks fit the shape of the tire for a secure grip that will not slip so you can get going on your trip. That's right, that's a rhyme. A typical install, like I said, only takes 30 seconds per wheel. If you have a kid that maybe just started driving, or have a kid that drives in general, or a spouse, you know, or somebody outside of yourself that you have to worry about every day, they need to have a Track Grabber in their car, all right? It makes it unbelievably easy to get out of places. If you're a hunter, somebody like that, it works for everybody. And right now, you can get 20% off your order with promo code BOOSTER, B-O-O-S-T-E-R, at trackgrabber.com. That's T-R-A-C, no K, TRACGRABBER.com. with promo code BOOSTER. Again, that's trackgrabber.com with code BOOSTER for 20% off your order. With Track Grabber, you get back on track. Now, speaking of back on track, we're going to put the link for the merch in the store. If you haven't bought a hoodie yet, you like the show, do us a favor, buy a hoodie, buy a candle, buy a goodie. check out my handle. I don't know what's wrong with me this morning. All right, let's get to the chat.
All right, chat, hit that like, hit that subscribe button. Please throw questions there that are on topic so I don't look stupid. We're going to start in with Porter Osborne Jr. Porter, what is up? Says, I'm for a 10 conference game schedule if it does away with the stupid SEC championship game.
Why is SEC championship game stupid?
Interesting.
Don't look, Porter, I kind of understand what you're saying, but let's be easy with the conference championship game. I like keeping the conference championship games. All right, because then it's just going to be it's going to turn into the college basketball regular season, but there's no tournament at the end to determine the winner. We're going to have to go through. Billy Bob Thornton's going to have to meet some random dude at a gas station to flip a coin to see who won the SEC. I'm not trying to do that. I want that conference championship game. I don't think we should get away with that. If we go to an all-conference schedule, great, fantastic. In my opinion, if you get an expanded playoff, if it goes to 16, I think you're going to go back to an 11-game schedule. And it's going to be an all-conference schedule because you have 11 games, conference championship, and then the playoff. Hell, they may knock it back even to 10. You know, it may be like a COVID situation, which I don't want that for the regular season, but I definitely don't want to get rid of the conference championship.
I'd rather see 11 premier matchups than 12, and four of them are against FCS schools.
Idaho Tech.
All right, let's go to the Dog Man 1 in the Rumble chat. What is up, my guy? SEC will still make sure they play the Sister of the Poor 1 week during the season. Always fun watching Alabama destroy the 10 bits peewee team.
Well, it's funny to me because, you know, every other conference, you got a couple teams that are like that. Mm-hmm. You got, what, one in the SEC? Like, no offense, Big Ten, Indiana isn't scaring anybody. Okay, I can go down the list of teams and conferences that are absolute trash. All right, look at the ACC. Wake Forest isn't scaring anybody anymore. Boston College isn't scaring anybody anymore. Like this, again, this is all people have against it. It's the only thing they can say against the SEC, and it's not true. Just look at the strength of schedule. Now you're going to add another SEC game? This feels like again, Blaine talks about, you know, the guy that's 5'4" that drives around in a monster truck, right? You're compensating for something.
Jeff?
Some of y'all got to get off this, oh, you play one cupcake opponent outside of the gauntlet, and you have teams like LSU that played Florida State. I mean, we see the teams that Bama played Texas. Some of y'all need to just stop with this. It makes you look, it just makes you look like a member of the Lollipop Guild that thinks he's going to go to the NBA. It's just not happening, bud.
Just go look at Florida's schedule.
Yeah, go look at Florida's schedule and then shut up.
And this is 2 years away, right? That's what he said earliest. Mm-hmm. So 8-game schedule this year, 8-game schedule next year, possibly 9-game schedule 2026, which makes sense because the last time we had the conference expand in the SEC, 2012, they took two seasons.
Missouri and Texas A&M,
and then 2014 permanent schedule. So two years would make sense here.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Christopher. He says, just make it a 10-conference game and have a 4-team playoff in each conference.
That's interesting.
So you would end up
kind of what the end of the season.
Well, you'd get to 12 games. You'd get to 12, so it'd be the same. The most you could get to would be 12. But quote unquote, I don't know if you'd call the 4-team tournament the regular season. You couldn't, but the most you would play is 12 games through that stretch before you got to the playoff, and that would encompass the conference championship game. I don't.
So with no divisions, you'd have to do like. The one seed would play the four, the two would play the three, and then have a championship.
Yep.
Yep.
Work.
I love it. Let's go to Emmanuel C. E-Man, what is up, my guy? Hashtag Ask Cranico. How does this make the ACC look? Will the team that makes the make the playoff from that conference just get blown out because of lack of competitiveness?
Now, look, it's all circumstantial. It just depends on the team. I mean, Clemson's good enough, you know, when they get it cooking to win it. Florida State is as well. I don't think you look at the whole conference and say, oh, well, you know, the competition isn't as good as the SEC, so therefore they can never win it. That's not the case. I don't think that has any bearing on it. I think the ACC just is what it is right now. It's just not the strongest conference, but it's, you know, it's not a cakewalk up and down.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Eddie. Championship games with the playoff is another playoff game. So much for player safety. Need to drop back to 10 regular season games. More money in the playoff games than regular season football.
Well, that's what I've been saying is if they expand the playoff more than 12, okay, because yes, the first four teams get a bye, right? The other eight, they've got to play it out. They're not going to add more regular season. They're not going to add playoff expansion and keep the regular season the same amount of games because you can't get on your soapbox and say, oh, we care about player safety. this, that, and the other. You've got to rob Peter to pay Paul at some point. If they're going to do that, they want to do the thing that makes the most money, to your point, add more playoff games, more eyeballs, more revenue, as opposed to regular season games. I think you would have 16-team playoff, maybe a 10-game in-conference regular season. Maybe that is the case with a conference championship game. You get around the same number, but I don't see them adding games.
But the clock keeps ticking, guys. The clock continues to click.
Yeah, guys, they minus they 7 plays.
So the players are so safe.
Yeah. It's 7 less plays a game, David.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, let's go to Jor. What is up? We're doing a revenue distribution for the conference championship games that goes directly to the players, incentivizes the CC, kind of like in a fight where winner gets a larger portion.
I love it.
Love that.
I love it.
Well, we kind of already do that, if you think about it.
But it doesn't trickle to the players.
Yeah, it does. The better bowl game you play in, the better bowl gifts you get. So in a way, I know it's not.
Yeah, Dale got Hulk hand.
There's a lot of big difference between playing in the Sugar Bowl and then playing in the the ChristianMingle.com Bowl.
Our Citrus Bowl gift was a $400 gift card to Best Buy, but you had to use it on the day. You couldn't take the gift card back with you. And it was right when the iPod Touch got launched.
So what I did was I got that.
It was $3.99. I got that. Took it back to the Best Buy in Ann Arbor,
traded it
in for store credit, bought DVDs for 3 years.
God, you really are a thousand years old.
Look at you, dude.
You really are 1,000 years old.
All right, let's go to the house that Cody built. We appreciate that house, Cody. When did Wake ever scare anyone? Don't they only have one conference title in football in modern?
With Sam Hartman and Kenneth Walker, they were pretty good. Yeah, they were pretty good there for a couple years.
Did Kenneth even play?
All right, we're going to get to Donos later. All right, let's move on here, David.
All right, let's go to reactions here. The Kansas City Chiefs had their Super Bowl parade, and we couldn't even have that without anything negative happening. Someone decided to pull out firearms, and it created a deadly shooting here. We have at least one dead and over 20 injured. I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Why? It's gotten to the point now, and look, the Good Samaritans that tackled this person, obviously it's a heroic gesture. Just seems like we just can't have nice things. And listen, this doesn't mean again, that there's not a great answer to it, right? If somebody wants to go do something like this, and whatever sick thought or mental disorder, fantastical reality that they live in, you can find a way to go do it. It's scary. You feel like everything has to be protected now. Schools, churches, everything. We have a mental health crisis. Like you want to know the true problem? It's not access to things. It's like saying, oh, well, we could stop carjackings if everybody just walked. Like that's not going to work. You don't take everybody's guns away and things like that. It's a mental health problem, man. We can't even have parades winning Super Bowls, man.
I mean, I hate to spend any time talking about anything other than like the people and their families and trying to make the guys who stopped it famous. Like that to me is a worthy goal too. It does seem like the last couple of years though, the media personalities come out on television and they all just try and out virtue signal each other.
Well, like RG3 last night, you're not helping anything.
The solution is very, very clear, and it's as old as time. The punishment for the people who do this has to be increased.
Yeah.
Like, you take mass shooters out to the public square, and you end their life in as painful a manner as possible.
It'd take 30 minutes.
That is what needs to happen. No one wants to do it, though. I don't want to be the guy who that's their job. But that our forebears didn't have that problem.
No, it's you have people that come out and they're like, oh, well, we need to stop playing politics with all this. Yeah, you're right. Make them pay the price worse. You know what stops it? Deterrence. Not taking things away. I want to be able to defend myself if somebody breaks in my home. But people like RG3 that get out and they're like, we got to stop. It's all these guns. That's what it is. I hope you're not that stupid.
But other areas of life, think about it. If you drink and drive and there's a fatality involved, no one would ever have the conversation about, well, no one can drive.
That's my whole point. It's just that doesn't work.
The punishment for the person who drinks and drives is increased.
Yeah, it's.
I feel like if people have this mindset, they're going to find a way. They're going to find a way to get what they need to get it done. You can put all the bans in the world on assault rifles and this and that. But people with this mindset, they're going to do everything they can. Hell, you can go back to the Bible days. I mean, people are killing people with rocks. You know, if people are in that mindset, they're going to find a way to do this. It's a gun control problem.
Hmm. Yeah, it's unfortunate for sure. Prayers go out to the families. I did want to talk about do we have the Kanye West commercial from the Super Bowl by chance?
I didn't see this.
Do we have that, Justine?
Oh God, not a great
start. I want to play this. I want to play this commercial from the Super Bowl from Kanye West. Play this.
Hey y'all, this is Gary, and this is my commercial. And since we spent all the money on the commercial spot, we actually didn't spend any money on the actual commercial. But the idea is, I want you to go to Yeezy.com, Y-E-E-Z-Y.com. And I'm gonna write it at the bottom of the screen, and I got some shoes, and that's it.
All right, so some details here. $7 million he spent for the Super Bowl spot. $0, like he said, on the commercial production budget. $19.3 million in sales over just 24 hours.
Do you know how there's that person that does like a bunch of dumb things, but then like will do that smart thing, and you're like, God,
that's it.
Like
that's the thing.
That's it. Like it's almost diabolical.
I know, because like it works.
It just, I mean, I get it.
Like
I get it. It makes sense. Like how we did it. And it, I mean, it obviously worked. I don't know, man.
It's creative.
Like I
it's good to see Yeezy in good spirits, man. That guy's. I've seen some videos.
Does that count as good spirits?
Yeah. Have you seen? I've seen a lot worse videos of Kanye West.
Touche.
A lot worse videos.
His cadence, the way he's talking, so
like, hey, that's it.
Guys, did a camera. Boop 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 boop. Like it just.
That's wild, man.
It's one of the greats.
$19.3 million in sales after the day after that. All right, next one up. What's the deal with the Jalen Carter and John Feliciano?
I don't know.
So this is strange. Okay, so it goes back. It started with the Feliciano guy when they played each other. He apparently, if you go back and remember what Jalen Carter got into in college with the car wreck situation.
Yeah, at Georgia.
At Georgia. And apparently Feliciano made fun of him for that during a game. So the next time they played, Jalen Carter apparently made death threats to him on the field. Not even that, on the field, saying that he was going to kill him.
So Feliciano's another player.
Yeah, so Jalen Carter obviously plays for the Eagles.
Yep.
He's linebacker for the Eagles, and Feliciano's a guard for the 49ers. So apparently Jalen Carter said that he was going to kill him and his three kids on the field, right? He was going to murder me. And the kids would never see me again three times because I was laughing at him after getting a flag. I said, I believe you got a body. Then he continued for weeks posting my fan and reaching out to my friend. So what it means when you got a body, like you think you killed somebody, and that's relating back, I believe, to the car crash. So apparently Jalen Carter would call his family, would call his friends, and say that he's going to kill him. That all started over of what happened on a football field. You want to talk about things where they should never go. Like, football's a physical game, and we all know this, but there's levels to this.
Childish.
Stuff, and there's lines where you don't cross.
Well, yes, I agree with that. But every time I watch the program and I watch the linebacker from that movie, when he's talking to the guard from Iowa, and he's basically like, you're the one that got my sister pregnant. He's like, I'm going to rip your guts open and watch you die. That's like the best part of that movie. But this is like way, way, way too, like, what type of lover, stalker, killer situation Jalen Carter got going on that you're going to do it off the field? Like, listen, I understand being intense on the field. There's people that have said things that bad on the field before. Stuff that gets said when guys are heated, you know, whatever, whatever. But after the game, you're calling people's friends and family and stuff like that. I mean, that is, That's way overboard.
Look, we all remember what the water boy had to do to put a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. But I miss the days when NFL stars could just talk trash to each other on the field, get after each other for 60 minutes, and then it's...
Yeah, it should never leave the field. Now, look, Feliciano saying that, I mean, come on, dog. Like,
no, they're both like
you're, bro, it's not one guy's wrong and the other one's right. You shouldn't have said what you said. You shouldn't have said what you said. The scariest part is, imagine those two monsters being pissed off while you're running around at slot receiver on the same field. Like,
there's
a lot of people that I will talk trash to, all right? I'm talking like get personal, all right? Jalen Carter is not one of them, but I'm sure Feliciano is a monster as well. I'm sure he's all right. A little
You're not little if you play guard in the NFL.
Yeah, for the 49ers.
Yeah, but this is way too far. It needs to stop.
Yeah, well, it just doesn't need to go off the field. That's the main.
Couple more here. San Francisco 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan has relieved defensive coordinator Steve Wilks of his responsibilities. You know, I think Shanahan was really attached to D'Amico Ryans last year and the job that he did, led the NFL in defense. Robert Saleh the year before. I mean, the 49ers were good on defense this year and really had a great performance in the Super Bowl for the most part. But now they're going to move on from Steve Wilks.
Well, it better be that they didn't like each other, because if you can make the Super Bowl as a coordinator and still get fired, then, like, I don't want to coach in the NFL. Like, I don't want to coach in the NFL. It wasn't the defense that lost the game, if we want to be honest, for the 49ers. Maybe Kyle Shanahan should fire himself for not doing the obvious thing in obvious situations. I don't know. Every time you're in the Super Bowl with a double-digit lead. So I don't know what you're supposed to do in the NFL. Like, everybody talks again about, oh, the NFL is so much better than college. Oh, it's so much better than college. Well, if I'm a coordinator and we make the Super Bowl, I'm not fired. You're fired. I'm the captain now.
What do you think? Where should the 49ers go from here?
I mean, to be honest with you, just look at the talent you have on defense. How hard is it to coach it? You know, so I think Steve Wilks did a hell of a job this year, and it goes back to
the whole year, or just specifically?
The whole year. I mean, you have a couple weeks where you gave up a lot, but that's going to happen in the NFL. I don't care how good you are, through injuries and just the talent you face every week. But look, I'm not the guy who points finger, but Kyle Shanahan, you're the problem, right? You're the problem. Like, when it comes down to it, when it comes down to certain situations in the most clutchest games and the biggest moments of your career, buddy, you choke. You can fire who you want to, you and Lynch, whenever you want to. But when it comes down to it, your corner three with the ball in your hands, it's like David when he looked at that Badger, all right?
Yeah.
He choked.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He choked, all right? But he came back. He came back. That's the difference between you and Kyle Shanahan. You came back and got it done.
Good.
But Kyle, it's you, buddy. I'm sorry. You can blame it on whoever you want to, but I don't know if you've heard this song. It's called The Man in the Mirror.
Man,
Kyle Shanahan's never had to deal with a Badger pervert. Being a pervert and humping off to the side.
You don't know that.
Let's just say that.
I don't know. Who's Tyrann Mathieu played for?
Next one up, last night, Auburn, murder. So much for the 11.5. I mean, Ron Slay came on here and said, Bruce Pearl, after a loss, at home, get ready. And what did they score, 101?
Well, there was just ass beatings left and right last night. Tennessee goes to Bud Walton.
Yeah.
And I know Arkansas is a shell of itself this year. They beat the Hogs by 30. Obviously, UConn just... You know, you have to call the guys from First 48 after what they did to DePaul last night. Here's what I'll say. If you can't get too high or too low when it comes to SEC regular season basketball or college basketball in general, especially this year, nobody's winning on the road. It's one thing, though, to lose on the road. It's another thing to get dropped by 40. All right, South Carolina's number 11 ranked team in the country. Here's what happened last night. South Carolina got sped up sometimes, turned the ball over, and Auburn's center and power forward, so their front court, the 4 and the 5, went 9 for 12 from 3.
Wow.
Jani Broome was 4 of 5 from 3. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if that happens, you're not beating Auburn with the amount of depth and the way they play defense. I think it's just a bad matchup for South Carolina. I think stylistically, obviously we always say styles make fights. I think the way Auburn plays is not conducive to what South Carolina wants to do. And look, Neville Arena, I mean, you're walking into hell.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. I think Auburn's 13-0 in there. They haven't, every game they've won by double digits.
The jungle.
And then Kentucky's coming in there Saturday. But look, it just goes to show you, South Carolina, I want to paint this picture for you, South Carolina fans. Imagine waking up today and being upset, and then you're 21-4 after last year, when Lamont Paris' first year where you struggled. With a right, look. The Murray Boyles, the NBA player. I can't believe South Carolina didn't give him the ball more in the second half. I mean, that dude was working Jani Broome early. South Carolina, they're going to be fine. You got to rebound. You play LSU. It's one loss. Again, you're 21-4, 9-3. But just around college basketball last night, you did have a couple good games that stretched to the end. Iowa, Maryland was a pretty good one as well. It's just, I'm really excited for this NCAA tournament. Not just that, but for the conference tournaments. The parity is an all-time high, but, I mean, a 40-piece.
You took South Carolina plus 11.5. Is this going to change your mindset betting against Auburn and hedging your emotions?
I've done this the entire year so far.
You're going to stick with it?
Yeah, I bet against Auburn, so Auburn will cover, and it's working. I guess. I'm pretty sure I've hit mostly 80%.
I've missed mostly basketball.
90%, but in my heart, I'm hitting, right?
So in your heart, you're hitting, but on the board.
On the board, I'm missing. And big kudos to the Auburn fans at the Jungle last night. That place. I tell you what, man. It's just, if you've been an Auburn fan your whole life and what you've gone through as a basketball fan, just to see that place like that, dude.
Well,
if you've never experienced it, doesn't matter who you're a fan of, just go.
Well, speaking about experiencing it, maybe you want to go to a game. Maybe you haven't been to one. Maybe you're a fan, doesn't matter where you're at. The Game Time app allows you to go to concerts, games, everything. We all know being there in person. Well, to quote a conference, it just means more. It's nothing like watching your favorite sport there, the fans, the food. It's just something about catching it live. That's why the Game Time app, it's something you have to have. If you're a sports fan and you go to games and you don't have this downloaded, you need to make yourself better, all right? I'm making you at least 3% better today. What's Game Time? It's a fast and easy way to buy tickets online. Like here in Nashville, we got the Predators. We obviously have the Titans. We have Vanderbilt. All type of stuff going on around Middle Tennessee's right down the road. You can get tickets for anything. And one of the best perks about their app is being able to see what the view from your seat will actually look like ahead of time. You actually can try before you buy with your ticket. It's a pretty cool deal. And with Zone Deals, you pick the section. Game Time picks the seats for big time savings. They also have flash deals and sponsor deals on tickets. And you always get the best price guaranteed. If you find tickets in the same section or row for less, Game Time, they'll credit you 110% of the difference. It really is a fantastic app and it's easy to use. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code Booster. That's BOOSTER for $20 off your first purchase. Again, you download the app, you create the account, you redeem the code with Booster. Easy, $20 off. Download it today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed. Terms apply. It's time to get in the game with Game Time.
Love it.
All right. Let's get back to the Booster Club.
All right. Let's go to room 40. What is up, my guys? Says Andy Reid didn't win a Super Bowl for like 18 years after a Super Bowl loss. Don't worry, Kyle will be fine. Do you really believe that?
I hope you're right. I don't hate Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, no.
But I'll call it spade a spade.
And Andy Reid had, what, two NFC championship losses before the Super Bowl loss, I believe? So, yeah.
Look, you don't get over the hump until you get over it.
Yep.
Like me in middle school.
All right, let's go to Bro Drew. What is up? 49ers did look bad in the second half of the biggest game of the year. Watching the second half, you just knew San Francisco was not stopping Mahomes. 49ers need to look at hiring someone who can actually figure out blocking scheme when other teams blitz. The Chiefs were getting to Purdy extremely fast that entire game.
Yeah, well, I think sometimes you bring more than they have to block, and you got to be able to get rid of the ball. I mean, a lot of times Wilkes heated up Mahomes. Mahomes threw the hot. Brock didn't throw the hot a couple times, and it cost them. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Sammy Caldwell. What is up? College football is better watched than the NFL.
Yes.
We all know this, but if you are the 49ers, where do you go to hire a defensive coordinator?
I mean, you go anywhere. I mean, you look at the team that you have. A lot of times they're going to stay in the NFL. You know, the Jeff Hafley situation doesn't happen a ton where your college coach goes and becomes a coordinator. It seems like every defensive coordinator at Michigan that happens to here lately. But there's a lot of guys. All right, we have anything college basketball before we get to Chris?
No.
All right, interesting. All right, Chris Marler, our good friend. You can catch him literally everywhere. He's got everything covered in the South and really even more than that. Chrissy, what's up, dog?
What's up, guys? How are y'all?
Doing good, man. How's everything going?
Good, man. Good. I told Dave, I still have not got my Michigan hat, so I figured I'd wear this Auburn hat as like a peace offering, a little olive branch.
That'll work.
That doesn't help me.
Yeah, it does, Dave.
No, Chris, that's acceptable.
If you break that branch, it's just going to sound even sweeter when you
No, Chris, that's 100% acceptable. Look, here's where I want to start. I want to start with the football front and then get to college basketball. I'm sure we'll get some questions about that in there here to throw to you here at the end. When you look at Alabama's coaching moves with Nick Sheridan and then promoting from within, some people thought it may be Jamarcus Shepherd. What is your level? I don't want to say panic because that's a bad word with the situation. But what is your level of worry when it comes to some of this late movement we've had to some pretty key pieces, offensive line coach, offensive coordinator as well with the Alabama staff in year one?
Yeah, so I think the offensive line situation is more concerning than the offensive coordinator. Grubb is like, at some point he's like, he kind of feels like the one that got away, because for 2 years in a row now you've tried to hire him, whether it would be with Saban going into last year or now with DeBoer coming over from Washington this year, and he gets away both times. But you know, for me, like, I have a hard time getting upset about stuff like this. One, in February, I have a hard time getting upset about it in February. in January, especially. And also when they make the decision, I think it's probably best for their career. You talk about like last year when he decided to turn down the Alabama OC job to go back to Washington. With everything he had in place in Washington and all the situations, like, you know, why would you want to leave Washington then to be under like a you know, under scrutiny and under a microscope constantly at Alabama and be under Nick Saban versus what you had in place already in Seattle? I don't blame him for going to the NFL now. I think you're going to see a lot more of that with the way, you know, the college coaching calendar really is, because it just never stops. So a little panic, not a huge concern with the OC. I still think it's supportive of the offense. I'm not super worried about that. The offensive line, though, you're talking about last year, which was the worst in program history. It gave up 49 sacks in 14 games, which is just, you know, going into the season, we talked about how big of a strength that was going to be and the joyless murder ball. And it just ends up being kind of just joyless the entire season. So that part, I think I'm a lot more concerned about. But from the OC standpoint, I don't think anybody is at this point super, super concerned, because it's still a DeBoer's offense.
Yeah, and look, it's, you know, you always want to keep the stability in place, the continuity in place. The good news for Alabama is your head coach is an offensive guy. It's not like he's a defensive guy that went and found some, you know, wunderkind, you know, play caller. Not that Ryan's not great, but it was a lot that fit together. You know, when you look at the system moving forward, Chris, well, one thing that I find interesting, and one thing Coach DeBoer said when we were down in Mobile, is that he was going to mold the system to fit his personnel. As an Alabama fan, that's got to be like music to your ears, because Jalen Milroe, his best weapon is his versatility. How excited should the Alabama fan base be kind of on the other end to realize, look, this guy understands, just like Nick Saban did, at some points, even when you get to the top, you've got to be malleable, at least until your pieces are put in place.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I will die on the hill that Jalen Milroe is a really, really good quarterback for the college level. And I don't care. Like, all the numbers point to the fact that he is. Like, any way you look at it, I don't care if you talk about, like, oh, he was bad in the Michigan game. Everybody was bad against Michigan's defense. Like, everyone was. And it didn't help that you had a center who couldn't figure out how to snap a ball to start the actual play on 32 of his 64 or 65 overall plays. Like, he had to snap those off target. I love Jalen Milroe. I think he's going to be really, really good in the system no matter what. And this is music to your ears if you're a Bama fan, because he is the guy. Like, he is the leader on the team, not only just the offense, but the team that I think everyone's going to kind of fall in line behind. He had a really, really good year one as the starter. But one thing that you didn't see for not only the start that he had against A&M in 2022 when Bill O'Brien was the OC, but also for a lot of last year up until November with Tommy Rees, is you didn't see any OC kind of cater his game to their game plan. And you didn't see him use their legs. It wasn't until the LSU game last year that they actually used his legs as a threat, you know? So I think that hearing that, it's like, more than anything, I don't want to see an OC or a play caller or some kind of, I know you use the phrase oil and water. I don't want to see somebody going to, like, they're banging their head against the wall with Jalen Milroe as your quarterback, because you have a really, really talented quarterback. He you know, returning sixth best vote getter in the Heisman Trophy last year. Yeah. You have a weapon. So just figure out how to use him.
Yeah. RPO.
Yeah. Chris, Scott Cochran, the former strength trainer at Alabama, followed Kirby Smart to Georgia, became the special teams coordinator, is no longer with the program. Head coach Kirby Smart said, I want to thank Scott for his contributions. We wish him the best moving forward. Do you have any information on what went on there, and should Alabama try and bring back Scott Cochran?
One, absolutely bring him back. I think you talked to a lot of people around the program when he was there. He was often considered the second most important person in the building behind Saban. So I don't know what happened at Georgia. I don't really want to speculate on that. I do know that one of the reasons he left earlier, and he's been open about this, was it's a guy that was facing some off-field problems in his own personal life with, like, addiction and stuff. And, you know, like, I think in this day and age, it's kind of foolish not to think that that's probably not more of an issue. And again, with the coaching calendar, some of the stuff that you're going to see from, I think in general, it might be even more prevalent than people realize, because there's so much pressure and there's no downtime for any of these coaches.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm not saying that I condone it or anything like that, but I also am saying that I fully understand it. And more than anything, guys, like, like, hats off to Scott Cochran for facing a problem, addressing it, and addressing it publicly in this day and age with social media, and then beating it. And so I don't know what led him to leave Georgia. I know that he wanted an on-field role and really hadn't gotten that yet. But I will say that as just somebody that watched him around my favorite program for a long time, could not be prouder of a guy that went off the field, had a lot of issues, faced them, and then beat them as well.
Yeah, awesome.
I love it. I can't wait for you to face the issues with David and where that Michigan.
You're gonna be yeah, we're ready for you to face that
we'll
publicly.
We'll get there one day, Chris.
Well, you and Valtar, yeah. I'm sure. Josh,
although you do look good in that Auburn hat.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
It's Chris just built up like a villain.
Yeah,
like, Valtar just turned into Harvey Dent.
I don't understand what I've done to some of these. I mean, like,
Chris, the rumors have it's.
Yeah, I heard he watched you eat dinner last night.
Yeah, it's.
All right, we got a question here from Oziki Andrew. He wants to know, Chris, Kentucky is the most Jekyll and Hyde team in the NCAA. Mm-hmm. They could lose in the round of 64 or go to the Final Four.
I don't think they go to the Final
Which
Four.
Do you think is more likely?
I think losing in the round of 64 is probably more likely. Only because it's so difficult to get to a Final Four. It's just so difficult to get to a Final Four. That tournament, obviously, is there's a reason why it's one of the best things in all sports. Listen, I always say this. Coach K was like a coach for like 80,000 years, right? He won five national championships. Like, that's it. Like, arguably the best coach, one of the best teams, programs of all time, only won five national championships in like 40 plus years. It's really difficult to win a national championship in college basketball. It's really difficult to get the Final Four. But also, I think that we're finally at a place in college basketball and the SEC especially. And this isn't like a negative necessarily to Kentucky, but for the longest time, you guys remember having to do this too, which is like the longest time the narrative was like, oh, you know, Kentucky's just, they're going to turn it on. Once we get to March, like, they're just trying to find themselves. They got all these pieces.
Here they go. Big Blue Nation.
They're so young, but like, you know, once it's go time and the lights are on, they're going to go. And it's like, you know, it's hard to do that. And I think it's also another thing too, is the SEC is so deep. You don't see Kentucky making those kind of like huge leaps as a team. And especially as a starting five late in the season anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not like, it's crazy. Like, they're not the most talented team. Like, typically Kentucky just had so much better. Their players were so much better than yours. Like, even if you played really good and they played bad at the start, they'd find a way. This Kentucky team, though, I don't think they play hard on defense. I don't.
Yeah.
I think they're talented enough to be. I love Dillingham on offense. Shepard, you know, Haru, the Great White Ninja's out there doing it big. They got a bunch of trees running around. Wagner's a good player. Mitchell's a good player. But I just don't think they play hard on defense. I honestly think that Calipari is better at a place like Memphis that can still kind of be an underdog. I don't think John Calipari is awesome at like a Kentucky or a Duke where he's the big dog walking in. I don't think that's his forte. I mean, they really haven't won. I mean, thanks to Anthony Davis, you know, he got him that one, that alien that he had. Outside of that, I mean, they've underachieved. But Chris, let me ask you this. And we talked about this with Ron Slay yesterday. Arkansas with Musselman. Dude, I mean, you talk about falling off a cliff. Yeah. I mean, these guys, even last night, I mean, you got Tennessee's a good team. Dalton Connect, you know, Diet Luka. But, I mean, Arkansas and Musselman, man, it's weird to watch this.
It is. I think that's probably the best way to phrase it. It's weird and it's kind of sad. It's like, I you know, there's a couple of years ago, probably 2021, when you could make the case that it was probably the best program in the SEC to be a fan of like the entire program, because you had a football team that won 9 wins. You had a basketball team that was coming off like an Elite 8 run. And you had a baseball team that was just, you know, constantly feeling like they're knocking on the door, getting to Omaha. Things are different. Musselman, I mean, it's not like they have a lack of talent. Like, he brought in a ton of talent from an already really, really good program. This is just the most bizarre thing to watch. It I don't know enough. I don't want to speculate, but it does feel like there has to be something behind the scenes that's going on, like in the locker room or something. Because it's like
a gay love triangle.
I'm not going to get into that at all. But that was.
It was nice a mistake. Blend.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
I don't know what's going on there. It's hard for me to break character on here and blush, but you've done a great job.
Oh, yeah. David.
All right, Chris, we got a question here for Bradley. He wants to know, did South Carolina peak too early, and will they be able to make it more than one round or two rounds in the tournament?
So one of the great things about college basketball is that, like, you get the entire body of work. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I have a hard time getting upset about losses, especially road losses in the SEC, like this early on, because, you know, like, it's a long season and you have an entire resume. They're 21-4. They just got the break speed off of them at Auburn. I got news for you, man. Almost everybody that goes to that place gets the break speed off of them.
Yeah, you weren't special. Like, you were just next.
Exactly. They I think this is like the last night was like their sixth win in their last seven, where they won by 20 or more points. And you're talking about getting into like the nitty gritty of SEC play. I don't think they've peaked too early. I think that seems like a little bit of an overreaction. I do think they are a good enough team to move on past the first weekend. I don't know if they will or not. But I mean, yeah, saying they peaked too early, I think, is a little bit of a knee-jerk overreaction, just because of the fact that, like, man, you went to Neville and you got your brains beat in, but that's a team that's 43-2 in their last 45 games in Neville. And I don't know who the second loss is to, but I know the first one was like a 4-point loss to a number two overall pick in Alabama and Brandon Miller. So it's like, it takes a lot to beat them.
Yeah, I think it was the Warriors. Chris, I'll say this about South Carolina. The style they play and the players they have, I think one of their biggest strengths is South Carolina. Obviously teams play better or they play worse, but their style, it wasn't like they were just shooting incredibly well all year and they're just this knockdown team of NBA players. Like, they may have two NBA players on that team, but the style they play at, I don't think you can really peak too early. They play defense, they slow you down, they get the ball in the post, they work the shot clock, and they try and take efficient shots. And listen, I try and tell especially SEC fans or college football fans about, you cannot look at college basketball regular season in the same light you look at college football. You cannot get too high or too low. Here's the way I approach it. It's like the Atlanta Braves for me, all right? At this point with the Braves, I'm not getting too high or too low during the regular season. Yeah. There's going to be ups and downs. What I care about is the postseason. Can you get past the Phillies? Never thought I'd have that problem as an Auburn fan, or at least maybe, you know, I used to pray to God we'd make the NIT or maybe even the CIT or whatever the hell that tournament is. But I mean, at this point, I mean, Chris, I know you feel the same way. It's about the postseason, dog.
Yeah, all I took from that is that, I mean, you're right, but also, like, Jesus, we got to stop playing 162 games in Major League Baseball.
Dude, I know, right? It's ridiculous. So bad. It's 2024.
Like, people get so up in April. They're like, man, this is awesome. Opening day. And then it's like, oh my God, we have six more months of this. So yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think that, like, that's like a problem, obviously, with SEC fans. They don't know how to pace themselves with almost anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, basketball season, like, I just will never be in a situation where it's like, because listen, you lose by 40 like on the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, Auburn lost by like 20 a couple weeks. Did they lose by 20 or something?
The game before, Florida beat them by like 20.
Yeah, on the road.
Right. So it's like, and then look what happens the next week. So I have a hard time thinking that they need to overreact to that.
Definitely. Well, 21-4, you're getting upset. That's a high-class problem. But, Chris, man, we appreciate you joining us, my friend. Tell everybody where they can find your work as we cruise in. Got college baseball, too. Coming down the pipe, softball, obviously, that's big in Alabama as well. But tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, man. So online on Twitter and Instagram, Vern Funquist. And then we have a new podcast, Fourth and Wrong.
Yeah.
It's just a daily podcast that comes out every single day. You know, it's like a 5 to 15 minute thing. I say it's 5 minutes, but you guys know how long-winded I am. And so, yeah. And then after that, just find me on Twitter arguing with Baltard and trying to protect my peace and hopefully not get murdered.
Oh, he's on the line. So he's calling.
Literally right behind your door.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Chris, man. Thanks so much, my friend.
Appreciate it, guys.
See you, Chris.
All right. Chris Marler getting up early with us. He always brings the energy. And I think one reason why, because he drinks coffee. And if he's smart, he's drinking the greatest coffee that scientists, mathematicians, and mapologists have ever created.
Mapologists, huh?
Yeah, I believe that's what you call somebody that studies maps. Black Rifle Coffee. All right, if you haven't had Black Rifle Coffee yet, grow up! It's the perfect time to try it for yourself, and you'll see why they're becoming the most popular coffee company in America. All right, right now, you can also get 20% off your first order with promo code BOOSTER. Right? You see a pattern here with the promo codes. We try and keep it simple, stupid. At blackriflecoffee.com, that's promo code booster at blackriflecoffee.com, you get 20% off. What you got over there?
Oh, I got Blackbeard's Delight. I already drank this one.
Blackbeard's Delight. Yeah. Say 60% of the time, it works 100% of the time.
70% of the
time. Excuse me. What do you got over there? Why are you
What's up? Oh, gunship.
Yeah, congrats, you're dead.
Congrats.
You're dead! Don't just take our word for it. Rumor has it there's a Flaming Dragon brew that's
It's in the works.
Yeah, it's in the works. That's Blaine's, like, circle back thing.
Yeah,
go to blackriflecoffee.com right now for 20% off your purchase with code BOOSTER. That's B-O-O-S-T-E-R. That's blackriflecoffee.com. Use promo code BOOSTER. Drink Black Rifle or I'm going to get pissed. .com. All right. Before we get to the phone lines, let's get to the booster club.
First. All right. Let's go to Leroy Jose. What is up, my guy? He says, I'm sick of these baseball takes. It's like NASCAR should do less laps, too. Oh, wait. The length is part of the point. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, like my father-in-law feels that way too. He's like, "Look, I love baseball. I want it on every night when I come home and I watch the game." So, to diehard baseball fans, the length of the season doesn't matter.
Well, I think to people that understand the amount of injuries we've had with pitchers and things like that, like if you just take 20 games off, it'll help. Nobody is saying that baseball is boring. Just 162 games is too much. And you know what? I'll say this. They got too many laps in NASCAR. I'll say that.
Oh, boy.
Driving in a circle the whole time. You know what's fun to watch? The drag racing. You want to know why? Because I'm like this.
Oh. You're trying to get in a lot of fun.
Then it's the next one. Look, I don't want to watch somebody go in a circle 800 times. I already got to drive to work. Already got, especially if you live in a populated area. I don't get it. The F1 stuff, get it. 100%. I think there's too many laps. You know what? I want you going full speed for 20 laps. Then let's roll the next guys in there.
Mm.
I want 20 laps. It's like steroids in baseball. But I want to see guys hit 600 feet. Mm. Put the nitrous in there. Let's go 800 miles per hour for 20 laps.
On the injury thing in baseball, I saw a stat the other day. I'll have to pull this for the opening fun fact one day, but something about Nolan Ryan, like the amount of innings he pitched one season, just insane. Like complete games, extra innings, everything, and then pitched for like another 20 years.
Well, that's what, if they let just the guys just smoke cigarettes and just drink light beer.
That's what
the
we need.
Time.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, that's what some of us want to go back
to. Well, yeah, to be honest with you, I think they should have turbos on the track. They should give them guns and rockets and spikes.
You're just trying to turn NASCAR into Ready Player One. You
yeah,
just want
basically
so
that.
Bad.
You shoot turtles, turtle shells at people.
Shapiro makes a good point on this. And look, he knows as much about baseball as anyone I've ever met. It's like, if you're going to have a 162 game regular season, that created a really intense pennant race, right? And then you have two teams play for the World Series. But now that you let so many teams
now every half the league makes
like,
the playoff.
Your point is valid. Hey, are the Braves going to win the NL East every single year only to lose in the wild card round or the divisional round to the Phillies?
Yeah, I can't wait to get excited about the Braves winning 108 games only to watch Bryce Harper close his eyes and hit a home run opposite field. Like,
all right, let's go to BNA Wildcat. What is up? It says Kentucky was the second loss for Auburn, but doesn't it feel like Cal just want to make NBA players and not actually win basketball games?
Yeah, I think he does. He would do better. And not, I'm not saying like send him to like South Dakota State. That's not what I'm saying, but like a Memphis, right? Somebody like that that has cachet but isn't looked at a dominant force. Like, I know Indiana had obviously great runs under Bob Knight. It's a basketball school, but send him to a place like Indiana, right? For Mike Woodson right now, I bet he does well, right? Because he'll overachieve as opposed to being at Kentucky where he's overpromised and underdelivered outside of the players that he's made rich. Because if that was the case, then he may be the greatest coach of all time with the amount of money that Kentucky players have made.
All right, let's go to Finley O. Finley, what is up, my brother? He says, Jake, take your hands off motorsports. In every way, in every facet, you are wrong.
No, how am I wrong? This, first off, it's my opinion. I think there's too many laps in NASCAR. Why aren't we going off jumps? You know?
You're speaking my
language. That's the X
if
game,
I wanted
brother.
To watch, if I wanted to watch somebody attempt to turn left for 3 hours, I'd go watch Zoolander twice in a row. All right? I'm not trying to watch that.
So you're more of an X Games guy.
Yes. Half pipe and snowboard? Come on. That one thing where they're like, and then just like going in the air and then I just land.
What would it take for you to do that? What would it take for you to do that? What is that even called?
That thing where they go off the huge jump?
The flying bat. The flying
bat. What would it take for me to do that?
I can show you flying bat.
We're having a nice Thursday.
I just wanted to talk about the X Games for a second.
What would it take, man?
It would take a million.
A million cash.
A million, I have to see it.
950,000.
Lower the jump a little bit.
720,000.
Lower it a little bit more. Like every time you lower the money, we're lowering the distance I got to cover.
Fair enough.
Like all of a sudden, I'll just get $6 to go over something like this.
Boop.
Yeah, there you go. Congrats.
Pay me.
All right, let's get to the phone lines.
All right, y'all get those calls in. All right, 1-855-236-3228. Let's go to Josh in North Carolina. Josh, what's up?
Hey, I'll do that jump for free. I don't need any money to do it.
Well, God, don't cap, Josh.
You're an insane person.
No, you're lying.
I was calling because the Super Bowl, I had $150 in bets, and before Travis Kelce caught the pass to set up the game-time field goal, I would have lost $150. But after the Chiefs overtime win, I won $65.
So, there you go.
I have never went from being so depressed to just so ecstatic. And I was at the Super Bowl party. As soon as Travis Kelce caught that pass, I said, yes! And then everybody just looked at me. And I was like, all
good.
Right, you know, I guess
that means you care the most. That means you care the most.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love it.
Like, exactly. What Super Bowl party were you at where no one else was betting?
That's a good point.
That's
tough. I need to find better friends that actually bet. So.
Yeah, you just come out here with us.
That's tough, buddy. As a guy who had Travis Kelce over 70 and a half yards, he had 1 yard.
Yeah, Blaine was trying to get to Andy Reid to push him over.
That's the one I had, too. That's what I was sweating out. And then I also had Patrick Mahomes over 1.5 touchdown passes. And when he threw that pass to end the game, I was like, that hit. And then, thankfully, my girlfriend, she talked me into buying a half a point on the over-under. So that one pushed for me. I didn't lose any money on that. And then the Chiefs won, which was my money line bet as well.
I don't know if something could bring a couple together more. I mean, maybe having a child could possibly be then when your female significant other gives you betting advice and it's actually the thing that saves you. Like, I think I that's what, like, when people are like, oh, how did y'all stay married 60 years? Like, I'm surprised at every answer. The guy's not like, well, in 74, the Red Sox were a 2.5 run favorite against Bill Dingle and the Green Jackets.
Old Bill Dingle.
Old Bill Dingle.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But yes, thanks to my girlfriend, that's how I became, you know, a richer man. The only bet that didn't hit was Christian McCaffrey over 90 rushing yards.
Which is wild.
And he almost hit it, but then Kyle Shanahan just stopped running the football like always.
Surprise.
Yeah, Kyle had the under.
Yeah, he probably did. I wouldn't doubt it. But anyways, thanks for taking my calls, guys. I hope y'all have a fantastic day.
Hey, you too. Josh.
I'm surprised I didn't hear anything to you about Chris Marlowe.
Yeah, just make sure you shut the door on the way out of Chris's apartment. All right, thanks, Josh.
All right, we'll
see you. Bye, buddy.
All right, let's go to Kirk in Canada.
Kirky.
Kirk, did my eyes deceive me, or did I see the Maple Leafs and the Flyers are playing tonight?
Oh, don't ruin a good phone call talking about those guys.
Is there like a name for that game? We got to come up with like a name for that. You know how like the periphery rivalry games would be like the battle for the hobnailed boot. Like there should be one for this game. What is like the battle of the battle of the frozen bank account?
The plus 12 bowl.
Yeah.
What are the odds?
12.5 points.
12.5 points. 12.5 points.
12.5 points.
Yeah. Scream it.
Yeah. Man, you guys crack me up. I usually listen to your show the next day. I download it. And the other day I'm listening and Jake says, somebody needs to put some whiteout on a bumblebee's butt or something. I can't even stop laughing at
Yeah,
I don't
who
even
does?
Catch that one. I don't even catch half of them live.
Look, sometimes I don't even realize
I don't know where I am
until after. Yeah, I don't know what.
And I love lamp.
What do they say? Sometimes I don't know what the
99% of the time, I don't know what the is going on.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to, I've been trying to call in. You guys are, your show is growing. It's getting harder to call in, which is a good sign for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But that Super Bowl, I got to tell you about the first Super Bowl I ever watched. I was a pretty big Marino fan back in the day.
Me too.
It was 1985. He was going up against Joe Montana.
Mm.
And oh, I so wanted Dan Marino to, he had that phenomenal year. As you remember, he broke all those records in 84. Anyway.
And then found Snowflake, the dolphin, when they kidnapped him.
With Ace.
Well, that started a streak since 1985. I think there's been about 40 Super Bowls. your boys only, I think, predicted the winner seven times, and that was the seven times Tom Brady won.
Smart man. Smart man. I bet on Mahomes every time, too.
The Super Bowl. I am so bad. This year, of course, I was going for San Fran because I don't want to see Mahomes get seven rings. And sure enough, I come up short again.
Look, you can't bet against the man.
Next year, you want to know where to put your money, just call me up and I'll tell you who I'm rooting for. And then you root for the other team. You put your money on the other team and you're laughing.
Well, we always say if you know somebody that you know doesn't know, then in reality, you know.
And Marino never made it back to a Super Bowl, man. Sad. I was never a big Dan Marino fan. Dolphins hadn't made it back to a Super Bowl. How did you become a Marino fan up in Canada?
I don't know. You know, he was a phenom back then, of course. Like now we're used to a high passing NFL. In 1984, he was completely out of the box, right? There was nobody like him. Well, maybe like Fran Tarkenton before my time, but he was way, way ahead of his time. And I don't think there's any debate. He's the best quarterback to never win a Super Bowl.
I agree. Him and Jim Kelly, I think, are two.
Yeah, Jim Kelly, he was really good too. So anyway, hopefully Patrick doesn't win seven is what I can, that's all I want to say.
Man, like I said, it's hard to bet against the dude. It's amazing. You know, you think you see something you'll never see again, and then coming down the pipe right after it is the possibility of it. But Kirk,
as soon as San Fran kicked that field goal and Mahomes came on the field, I turned to everybody in the room and I said, this game is over. Mahomes.
You could feel it.
Marching him down the field.
Down in your plums. Touchdown,
probably to some guy who hasn't caught a pass all game.
Yeah, and, some guy's going to be selling insurance 2 years later.
What are you going to say there, Blaine?
Say that again?
Oh, Blaine was going to say something. I cut him off.
I don't even think I have to say it telepathically. I think you can hear it, Kirk. You're going to take an L tonight.
Fly high.
Take a big L.
Fly tonight. High.
All right, you know what? And I'm going to come over you with the sky hook. But I'm not going to put it all the way down. I'm going to keep it mid-level.
Just high enough.
Wow. I'm going to keep it mid-level.
You can see it, but can't reach
until
it.
You're really ready to come down, because I don't know if you know my backstory.
We'll talk more hockey.
Yeah, you should, Kirk, you better. All right, I can't wait. I need more ketchup chips.
Yeah, those things are fantastic.
Appreciate it, Kirk. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Kirky.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yep. All right, let's go to Seth in Missouri. Seth, talk to us.
Morning, guys.
What's up?
I'm the guy who called and asked to help get my man card back because my kid didn't know the difference between a touchdown and a baseball run.
We gave you a reprieve. I hope that situation's been fixed. We've had somebody circling your house for the last
week. We met.
Weeks.
Yeah. We all met at a table.
So. Yeah. We went to a Chili's and sat down and talked about it.
That's what was happening.
Well, the details don't matter, David. Stop telling people where we go.
On Saturday night, I'm taking my oldest son, who's 8 years old, to his first ever professional game of any kind.
Nice.
We're watching our National Predators play at the St. Louis Blues.
Let's go, baby. Yes.
So, what is some advice you have for taking your son to an away game?
First off, here's how I would go about it. Outside of playing at LSU or possibly at Georgia, I would wear all the stuff of my team.
Yes.
All right, because you got to get immersed in the experience. Mm-hmm. You want the hate, mm-hmm. right? You want a little bit of that. You want a little bit of the camaraderie. Maybe you become friends with, you know, some of the Blues fans there. But there's going to be a point where you're walking with your kid and you got on your Pred stuff and you look across and there's another dad with his kid in his Pred stuff. Oh, wow. We just became best friends. Now, why are we going over to each other's house during Thanksgiving and Christmas? You just got to get the full experience. So what I would say, wear all the stuff of the away team. Go enjoy it. Go into it without, you know, realizing you're the underdog because you're on the road. I loved going on the road more. Like, I want to embrace the darkness.
That's exactly
But you're going to have a great time. Make sure you get them, obviously, something to eat and something to drink. Try and sit as close to the ice as possible. And, man, go have a ball.
I'm excited, guys. I got a short shirt ordered. It's already here. I got my jersey. We're good to go. Ready to have some fun.
Well, Seth, you got to call back and tell us how it went, man.
Will do. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, buddy.
I was going to say usually. How old is his son?
Eight. No, I'm going to guess eight.
Okay. He's not ready now because when you hit 10, you have to find another guy's son to go
fight him. Yeah, you got to fight him.
An away game, and then you play the game of how many beers can I get away with giving my son.
Well, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Sorry, did you say giving your
did
son?
Did you just say give the son beer? The
at
10-year-old
age 10.
Beers?
First of all, he's 8. Get it right.
And no, you said when he turns 10.
I mean, as long as it's light
beer. No, I'm talking
beer.
About the fighting. You can slip him a couple beers during this game. He really wants to enjoy the event. You know? What a better way to enjoy an event with your father than going to fight someone else's kid.
Don't do that.
Your life is big, Dad.
And then give him a couple brewskis.
No, here's like, listen, it's like in 300, you know, the Spartans, you have to go out and like kill like a big wolf and wear it back. In our house, you had to go to Tuscaloosa and fight the first person you saw that was
rites
your age,
of passage.
You
know.
Yeah, see, in my house, you have to
rites
fight
of passage.
Me.
We need more of them, not less.
We'd make us better.
Yeah. I agree.
And people stop throwing paint on like the Mona Lisa and stuff.
Yeah, good God. The in climate change.
You know what I don't understand? Like, you had those people today that like threw red stuff all over the Constitution. If I run on the field at a game, y'all run full speed and tackle me. Mm. But I can sit here and throw SpaghettiOs all over a Rembrandt and y'all just stare at these
people. Don't do a thing.
You need it. Listen. Terry Tate, statue, painting, old relic.
Linebacker. That's what we need.
Where if one of these little rich daddy's little boys, whatever, goes and tries to do something with these paintings, Terry Tate is coming to Mr. Potato Head you.
Okay, and is that not the exact example that we just said with the Super Bowl parade shooting? The deterrent.
Yes.
The punishment for your behavior is what will deter future action.
For sure. Fear. Fear is a hell of a motivator.
Terry Tate, museum linebacker.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, just like, I mean, kind of what Christopher Jordan said. He said, at LSU, Jesus, with my kid, hit with snap pops, food, bottles thrown at us, and no Uber was available. At the end of the day, it was an amazing, miserable experience.
Yeah, and that was just at the hotel
and
before
you
he got to
life.
The stadium.
No one can take that from you.
Yeah.
Then
you
how was
survived.
The game? Yeah.
You should have a shirt that says, I survived.
Yeah.
I mean, of course I meant root beer, guys. Relax. Relax. All right, let's go to Cody. What is up, buddy? He says, Kelly Marino head-to-head. Kelly 11, Marino 7 in the regular season. And Kelly was 3-0 against Dan Marino in the postseason.
Interesting.
Did not know
I'll take
that.
Dan Marino.
Did not know that. All right, say the bitch club.
All right, let's go to Millie. What is up, my guy? Mark Burrell said he used to have someone bring him beers from the concession stand to the dugout when he wasn't starting on the mound that day. Let's bring old baseball back.
That's part of it, man. Just a bunch of old guys drinking brews in the dugout going up. You know, like if you're a DH nowadays, there's a DH in both dugouts. The DH should have to drink at least 4 beers a game. Like that should be the rule. That should be what you should be doing. Like you're not playing first. You're not playing left. You're not pitching. You're not catching. You're the designated hitter. You should have to drink at least 4 beers by the time the ninth inning ends. That's what you do. Can you imagine like that last at bat? You know, maybe it's a hot day. Maybe you didn't eat that much for breakfast. 4 beers deep. I don't know. You're seeing kind of 2 Aroldis Chapmans out there. Got to pick the inside one.
Moon blast.
God, can you imagine somebody pumping 103 and you're drunk at the plate? Maybe that's the only way to hit it.
That's, yeah. I love it.
All right, let's go to Joe. Joe, what is up, my guy? Says, is there anything true to maybe Lamont Paris or Nate Oates to Ohio State?
I don't want to go there yet. I was wondering this yesterday. If you don't know, Chris Altman was fired from Ohio State after, you know, being 30-30 in his last 60 games. Nothing would surprise me nowadays. You know, when you look at Ohio State, I think they go get a proven head coach. I don't think they go get an assistant at a big-time place. I wouldn't be surprised. The Nate Oates thing, I don't know why you would leave for Ohio State in basketball with what Alabama's doing right now and obviously what the SEC has been able to do and how he's been able to win. Unless they just threw the big bag at you, which Ohio State's doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen it.
All right, let's go to the boxiest Llama 9 in the Rumble chat. What is up, my guys? ESPN will continue to rank these SEC school highs in the preseason. Thus, they will lose. It takes them longer to fall.
I want to be, if we're talking about basketball, I want to be in a conference that has a bunch of good teams so my RPI can be really good, even with losses and wins. I mean, you got some teams right now that you look at their record and you're like, oh, that record isn't that great, but they're like 17 in the net because of who they're playing. And I mean, some of these teams have played pretty good schedules in the offseason as well. All right, let's get to bets, then we'll get to donos, and then get out of here. Tonight, all right, yesterday, 1-1. That's why you trust the signs. Took Georgia Tech and Notre Dame. Accidentally wrote the under, was going to take the over at 132.5. What happens? Nobody gets in the 60s. So that's why you trust the signs. Hit that one. Arkansas closed their eyes and scored enough points.
So you did hit the one that you accidentally wrote down? Nice.
Yes. That's why you got to go with it. All right, tonight, Memphis. On the road, they need this one. I'm not a big fan of Quinterly and the way he handles his business, but I need Memphis tonight, -108 on the money line, and then Purdue at home against Minnesota. Give me that thing and the rest of the guys on Purdue, -16.5 at -112.
All right. I hit UConn last night, did not hit the Tennessee-Arkansas under, but tonight I'm going to go FAU, -19.5, and then Minnesota, +16.5, playing Purdue, and both those odds are -110.
All right, I'm not having fun betting college basketball. This is not a good thing for me. I hate it. Bring back football as quick as possible. Our Nerfy season is coming up. But give me St. Mary's -18.5. It's going off at -120. I'm going Purdue and the giant Zach Edey -16.5 at home at -112.
All right, Ace, he's going to go hockey. Leafs money line, so he's going to ride with Kirk in Canada tonight. And then the Lightning money line that's going off at -115.
We have one more caller on the line.
Oh, let's get to it.
Let's get to Kevin in Pennsylvania. Bad. Kevin, talk to us.
Fellas, how we doing?
What is up, man? My guy?
All right, so I got a big question for y'all, right?
So, what up?
You know how the NFL likes to find players for, you know, these bang-bang plays? You know, some of them are kind of egregious. You know it when you see it, right? But for these like, you know, blocks that these running backs are doing where, you know, they're like they're leading with their head, but the running back's 5'3", so like what the heck else are they going to do? When are we going to start finding referees for missed calls? Because their argument is it's a bang-bang play. Well, you know, same thing happens for the ref. So if the players are supposed to be able to avoid these actions, when are the refs going to start getting fined for obvious bad calls and obvious missed calls?
Yeah, I think there should be some solution with the officials where it's a certain grade, where if you grade out at a certain level or if something is just so unbelievably egregious, I guess, in certain circumstances where you do get fined, there does need to be accountability. I know they get graded, but and I know they get allowed to participate in postseason, which makes more money. We talked about how much the Super Bowl referee makes as opposed to in a regular season game. But there's no... You know, there has to be some sort of repercussion for bad performance outside of, oh, after 20 years, we'll just fire you. Or, oh, Angel Hernandez, we know you're the worst umpire in baseball, but somehow we're going to keep you here forever, regardless of how bad you are. I'm all for that. Look, what I don't understand, and I feel like it's unbelievably hypocritical and nobody wants to talk about this, is that's why I think this player safety stuff, a lot of it is absolute BS, because they'll call targeting on the defense, but if you're a running back, you can lower your head. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a blocker, you can lower your head and lead with the crown of your helmet and block guys and run over guys, but which causes just as much problems as it does when a defender does it. Hell, sometimes the defender's having to lower himself to get to where the offensive player is, which then creates targeting because the offensive player went low. But they're never going to call that on the offensive guys, because then you wouldn't have as many points. So I don't think deep down they really care about player safety. I think it's just more of a way to put more points on the board, honestly.
I'll tell you what else would go a long way with referees is the transparency and communication. Just give them live mics, hot mics. Let's hear them going through the decision process.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it would humanize them a lot. Was it the USFL or the XFL that did that last season?
I think it was the XFL.
And I think now that they've merged and it's the UFL, I think they're going to continue that a little bit.
Well, that's my biggest complaint, and I don't understand. We should never have, with the capabilities we have at high levels of football, there should never again be an on-the-field referee run and look into a video monitor.
Agreed.
We should never have that again. Why are all these people sitting in this control room like the architect from The Matrix, if the referee's got to waste 25 seconds to run his ass over to the video monitor to look at it just for you to tell him what the call is?
Exactly.
You stand there, you listen, and you know, a lot of times some of these reviews would be gone in a second.
Yes.
In a second, because the guys in the booth can tell it. We got to streamline this thing.
And again, what would it hurt for them to have that conversation on a hot mic where we can hear?
No,
everybody in their living room's having the same conversation. Oh, no, he didn't cross the plane. He did cross the plane. That's a catch. The ball moved. Let's hear what you're talking about.
I agree with that 100%. What about you, Kevin?
Oh, well, you know, I agree with you guys 100%. And basically, it's so hard to watch these games. Like, I know people are talking about holding a lot in the Super Bowl, but, like, honestly, the whole season, regardless of what team you watch, holding was a big, big problem this year. And it just goes unaddressed. It's just like, oh, I guess we'll deal with it next year, but they never will. So it's kind of getting hard to watch these games when, like you said, they quote unquote care so much about player safety, but then let all these things go pretty much unanswered. And
yeah, it's just hypocritical to me. Like, what is it? Is one like less than the other? Like, if you know, a defensive guy lowers his head, it's not less a problem as opposed to an offensive player doing it. I don't understand it, but we're on the same page, Kev.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks for calling, man. Call in again soon. All right. Do we have Christopher on the line in Georgia?
Hey,
Chris.
What's up, gentlemen?
What's up, dog? What's up,
Chris?
Hey, Blaine, first, it's Jordan, not Jordan.
Oh, okay. Well, excuse me, Mr. Perfect.
You should know that, sir.
Yes.
Hey, Jordan, I'm trying my best stadium over here, all right?
It's an Auburn reference. I get it, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, two. Who do you think wins the SEC tournament basketball?
Hold on, let me close my eyes. You got a dart, David? No, I think Tennessee does. I still think Tennessee's the best team in the SEC because Dalton Knecht, I guess I'm going to use this pun, has finally made the connection offensively for Tennessee where, you know, it's not just Vescovi who they have to rely on to score or maybe, Josiah gets hot. Now you have a guy that's a legitimate bucket getter that it takes so much pressure off the other guys. I mean, look at what it's opened up for, Adu down low, being able to have a big guy like Dalton Knecht that can drive, that can post up, that can score from the outside. And then we know defensively how talented they are, and they have old guards. And when you're trying to pick a team to win a tournament, what wins in March? Old guards win in March. Now, yeah, I think there's more teams that could win the SEC tournament this year than ever before. I mean, hell, Vanderbilt just beat a good Texas A&M team. Even though Vanderbilt was at home, I would put my money on Tennessee. Though, what about you?
Okay, I would agree with that. By the way,
Okay.
I love the way this call's going so far,
Christopher. I have a question for you. When you're talking about MJ, do you say Michael Jordan or do you say Michael Jordan?
It's Michael Jordan.
Okay. Yes. Well, the reason is a lot of people mistake Auburn's home stadium, they call it Jordan-Hare Stadium. Mm. That's not the name of it.
Jordan.
It's Jordan-Hare Stadium.
And it didn't. I had to meet somebody with the last name Jordan, spelled exactly like that, probably 6 or 7 years ago. And she was engaged to a guy whose last name was Jordan. And she said, no, it's pronounced Jordan. And
you think there'd be a U instead of
an I said your name wrong. What's your name in the chat?
So it's Christopher Jordan.
Okay. I haven't seen that.
Hey, you get it right over there, man.
Is it?
Yeah, so I'm from the Columbus, Georgia area. And it's Jordan.
Hey, let me ask you this. How excited are you guys about getting that minor league, the Braves affiliate?
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Doesn't it just make so much sense? Why don't we do this everywhere? Have you ever thought of this? Why do minor league teams, you should have your team in your state. Mm-hmm. Like if it's the Braves, the single A, double A, and triple A should all be in the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
Like that makes too much sense.
We used to have a triple A club in Columbus.
The Red Sticks, right?
No, it was the Astros.
Yeah, that's right. But I'm trying to remember the name was the Red Sticks, right? One of the Columbus Red Sticks?
There was the Columbus Red Sticks, yes.
That's right, that's right.
Throwback City.
Played travel ball tournaments there.
Yeah, I did too. Mm-hmm.
I love Columbus. Hold down Columbus for us, Christopher.
Yeah, baby. It's basically just an extension of East Alabama, let's be honest.
Yeah. Well, no, it's West Georgia.
Absolutely.
Well,
never forgive Shaw High School.
Well, Central Phoenix City was technically in our region, so.
Really? What about Shaw? Shaw High School?
That's where you went? Yeah, I got you. How old are you, Christopher?
46.
Oh, so you're older than me. I was the same age as like Orwin Smith, who went there.
Okay. Yep.
Who went to Georgia Tech.
I was the same age as Trey Blackman. Remember him?
Ah!
He shook my hand one time. I got stung by a bumblebee, and I met him at Florida State football camp. My hand was already swollen. He shook my hand. I thought my head was going to, like, pop off.
Yeah. I was the same age as Reuben Foster.
Dude, Trey Blackman's high school film.
It's pretty good, huh?
It's like you go to prison for that.
What high school did he go to?
It wasn't Shaw, was it?
He didn't go to Shaw.
No.
LaGrange.
He went to LaGrange. He went to LaGrange. Yeah.
Yeah, he went to LaGrange.
Killing people.
Yeah. Well, I'm in Pine Mountain, which is next to LaGrange.
They play some football around.
Love it, man. Hold down Columbus for us, Christopher. Yep. How about one more quickly?
All right, see you later, Jordan.
Quickly, King Don in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh, no.
King Don, quickly, talk to us.
All right. Hey, I'm just want to read some stats real quick from Defensive Player of the Year candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, we have our winner, Myles Garrett. He had 42 total tackles, 33 solo tackles, 14 sacks, and 4 forced fumbles.
Now do TJ.
That's not that bad. That's pretty good. But TJ had 68 total tackles. Solo tackles was 48, which is more than Myles Garrett got total.
I know.
19 sacks, 4 forced fumbles. And he actually, I didn't include this on my line, but he had more fumble recoveries and an interception. How on earth did Myles Garrett win it?
TJ had 19 sacks last year? Dang.
Dude, here's the
advanced stats, guys.
Hey, can we be honest for a second? Like, let's be honest. Because the Steelers made the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Steelers and Browns made the playoffs. Both yeah. lost early.
Yep.
So can I just say it? What I think it is?
What?
I think it's racism.
You don't think so.
Can you imagine if a black guy had those stats and T.J. Watt won it with Myles Garrett's stat?
Oh,
they'd be screaming
Stephen
from a.
A.
mountaintop.
Would be going off,
Stephen A. Smith would be walking with Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and wearing the Black Panther outfit. Like, I mean, it just...
Let's hope not. Let's hope it hadn't gotten to
God's
that.
It's got to be that.
It's advanced stats,
like,
guys.
What do you...
Y'all not paying attention to
he
PFF
got off
or
the
what?
Line quickly.
Can we just call it for what
a
it is?
A lot of double teams.
Yeah, because it's quicker and he still didn't get more sacks.
Again, though, explain it to me. Why?
And didn't TJ miss games?
Yeah, TJ, like, tore his pet.
Yeah, he missed games.
He missed, like, three or four games.
He missed games and still had 19 sacks.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Like, give me another reason why. What is the difference? It's got to be the only reason.
Isn't he on, an otherworldly pace for quarterback pressures, too?
Well, he broke, like, the record for, like, the... And he broke his brother's record for, like, most sacks in the first 100
games. Yeah, so he's still chasing Reggie White for that one, I think, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, he's on an insane pace for...
But, again, what's the reason, though, King Don? Like, give me another reason. In any other world, make it make sense. It's not even close.
PFF graded him, like, the 92 or 93, and TJ Watt got, like, a 91.
But isn't it an NFL award?
That's what it says. Mm-hmm.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You know what I want? Guys that get tackles and sacks and pressures. I don't care. You know, I don't care if you run the hoop a half second faster. Which, by the way, I don't know. I think TJ may be faster running the hoop than Myles Garrett. I want the traditional stats. I don't want this PFF stuff's a joke. It's a joke. Let's be honest. The real ones know it's a joke.
Ron Bland, I feel like, would be more deserving of it. Or even Anton Winfield Jr., I think, would be more deserving of it than Myles Garrett.
Yeah, everybody just wants to be Jonah Hill from Moneyball right now. I think PFF is just run by a lot of guys who weren't good enough to play, so this is the only way they can get in with a calculator and a geometry book.
Are they taking in...
Yeah, the difference is that Jonah Hill in Moneyball is actually smart in what he...
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly. You want to know why? Because he looked and said his stats are better than his stats. We should take him.
Is there any consideration for guys getting double or triple teamed and that?
Well, that's the advanced stats, right?
Okay, so that's...
Myles Garrett didn't get double or triple teamed?
No. Come on. I'm just saying,
Has less good players on his team, so he's more likely to get double cover, double blocked than Myles Garrett, who has more better players. Mm-hmm.
So I
don't know. I feel like if there's anything when it comes to defensive line, I mean, the Steelers have two of the best pass rushers.
All I'm asking is, two, should they consider that? I mean, like, times when Aaron Donald's getting triple teamed and he doesn't have as many sacks as another
guy. Should be considered.
But we all know that Aaron Donald was the best defensive player in said year.
Here's what I think. Your stats tell the story, right? And not saying you don't affect the game in other ways. That's obvious. If you're getting double teamed, it opens up for somebody else. But if that other person has more individual tackles or tackles for loss or whatever, then you have overall tackles, that person should win the award. Mm. That's what I think.
Yeah. I'm assuming the other really good player on their line you're talking about is Alex Highsmith.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if they can't decide who to block between TJ Watt and Highsmith, why don't they both have ridiculous stats instead of just TJ Watt?
It's a great point.
Well, I mean, I think, one, I don't know how many times they're on the field at the same time. And two, I mean, I think Hightower.
Almost every play.
Yeah.
I don't think almost every play.
I'm a huge Steelers fan. I watched every single game that they got.
Well, I've seen, especially, like, they would take TJ out a lot more this year, especially after that injury. So I do think when it comes to double, who are you going to double on when it comes to the Browns? What other pass rusher are you worried about when it comes to the Browns?
Darius Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's not on Hightower's level.
You mean, look. I know what you mean. Here's, at the end of the day, the stats should speak for themselves. To me, there's no other way that T.J. Watt didn't win that except for one reason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying Myles Garrett had a bad season. Like, he was
nobody said that's not the argument. Nobody's saying that. Two things can be true at once. Two guys can have really great seasons, yeah. But when you look at those numbers and you look at the outcome, it's not like the Browns went to the championship game on their side of the league.
Myles Garrett wasn't even top six in sacks.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this wedding is horse. I said I didn't want salmon.
You don't hear anyone saying, like, Matt Crosby, I don't even think, got a single vote. And he had much better stats.
If T.J. Watt would have won this award with Myles Garrett's stats and Myles Garrett had T.J. Watt's stats, I'm telling you right now, there'd be marches on the Capitol. Like, I'm just telling you. Nobody's going to say that.
Maybe T.J. Watt's on this.
Look, I don't know. Maybe he knows where maybe he stole the Declaration of Independence. And I don't know what's going on.
Man, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, great call. Great call, Don.
Appreciate it, man.
Oh, God, I want to ask if he wanted Justin Fields or not. Anytime a Steelers fan calls in, I'm always... No! Thank you!
I was going to say, I was trying to rack my brain here because I'm like, man, I thought King Don was a Packers fan, but you're a Packers fan and a Steelers fan.
Yeah, dude, I mean, hey, what time school today?
8:53.
That a boy.
Have a good day, dude. Go learn something.
All right, let's get to Donos.
All right, let's get to it, man. That kid's solid, bro. I love 16 years old. Kid knows his stuff. Let's go to Chase Mills. Get his donation. $5 donation. What's up, buddy? Can't wait for Nerfy season, but boys, we have to dabble in the hits allowed in the first inning bets this year as well. I need Nerfy season to get here as quick as possible.
Yeah.
It's not going great for your boy right now. All right, let's go to Nick Bates with a $5 donation. Joke of the day, fellas. Why was 6 afraid of 7?
Because 7, 8, 9.
7, 8, 9.
Because 7 was a registered sex offender. All right.
That would do it, too.
All right, let's go to Steve. Trading card frenzy. $2 donation. Appreciate it, Steve. Jake. Come on, dude. Today's the day. Tie a string around that finger.
God, I keep forgetting to do this because I like think about it, and then I walk outside, and then I got to do the radio. So I'll get it today.
All right, let's go to Ryan Gay. Last donation of the day. $5. Appreciate it, Ryan. Today's the day.
Nobody does.
Four of being on the carnivore diet. Cone, since you did it for a month, give me a motivational speech with any tips on being a carnivore.
God bless you. That's the motivational
speech.
Take
cold showers.
God bless you. Yeah, take the cold showers while you're at it, man. Look, the only thing you need to be doing is ordering Good Ranchers. That's all I'm going to tell you. Good Ranchers, and just put yourself in a mental space where nothing else matters but getting through to the end of the month, man. That's what I did.
Definitely. Well, we appreciate you guys.
Cool. We're going to get to the poll. Who's the best team in college basketball? Houston, Purdue, UConn, or other?
UConn. 41%.
50%.
Houston, 11%. Purdue, 9%. Other, 37%. UConn, 43%.
Other being in there.
All right, appreciate you guys. Thanks for everybody that called in. Check out our sponsors, Track Grabber, Game Time, Black Rifle Coffee. Use promo code Booster. That pretty much gets you in anywhere. Heck, you can walk to the club downtown in your city, maybe the new one that opened, where the outside looks like the inside and the inside looks like the outside. Just use promo code Booster. I'm sure they'll let you in. Appreciate you guys. And like the chances of King Don wanting Justin Fields. We're going. Oh, that was actually a great throw. I wasted a great throw. Gone.